The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia. This is the Touchdown City Show.
And welcome into the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis, coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in the great city of St. Albans, West Virginia. Thank you for taking the opportunity to download this week's episode of the Touchdown City Show. I've got a great one lined up for you. Don't forget, before we get into it, make sure you hit subscribe, and also, if you would care to do so, share this episode on social media. So, I want to introduce you, the listeners, to my friend, Hillary Jeffries. She is the Director of Special Projects with the College Football Hall of Fame. Hillary, thank you for coming on to the Touchdown City Show.
You are most welcome, Anthony. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so for the listeners, we just spent like 20 minutes catching up. We haven't got to talk or other than social media for a long time, so we just spent that time doing that. But your title with the College Football Hall of Fame, Director of Special Projects, what does that entail?
I have absolutely no idea.
I have the same type of position.
I think it's like it's just a catch-all. I just kind of do everything no one else wants to do. No, I'm just kidding. I have two main responsibilities technically I work for the National Football Foundation, which is the parent organization of the College Football Hall of Fame. Okay. But most of the stuff that I do does involve, you know, the College Football Hall of Famers and that induction process. So that's one aspect of what I do. So I oversee all of the nomination, selection, and induction process of the College Football Hall of Fame. So anybody who wants to nominate someone for the Hall of Fame, I work directly with all the schools on that. That all runs through me. So that's part one of what I do. And part two is I run our scholarship program. And we have one of the oldest football scholar athlete programs in the country, dating all the way back to 1959. And we give away almost $300,000 a year in scholarships to the top senior football players in the country.
Wow. So you're heavily involved in the high school prospect or the high school prospects and the college aspect of the game. All right. So
probably
let's go
more college than anything. Okay. But yeah, we do have some chapter stuff that works directly with high schools around the country.
Let's go back for a second. Where are you originally from?
I am from a very tiny, don't blink, you'll miss it, town in southwestern Pennsylvania, Mapletown, Pennsylvania. And it's literally right over the border from Morgantown, West Virginia.
Which is where you went to college? You're a WVU girl?
It is indeed. I'm a WVU girl twice over. So I got my undergrad in journalism and got my master's in sport management.
So for the listeners, this is where it all kind of goes full circle. let's talk about your time at college. You just mentioned journalism. You were on the dance team at West Virginia, right?
I was, yes. We performed at all the basketball games. Did that and had so much fun. And, you know, this is where Anthony and I, we go way back. You know, I was actually on the dance team with his sister, Shakira. Mm-hmm. And so we were buddies as well. And I had a great time doing that. Now, I'm a little bit bitter. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit bitter because when I was in school, we were only allowed to do the basketball games. And now I see the dance team on the sideline at the football game. And I am very, very bitter about this.
I'm going to put you girls all in a Facebook group so you can talk about this, because that is something when I'm with my sister and we talk, that's like the first thing she mentions. This is bull. They get to do football.
She's not wrong. I mean, they told us how many times there was, quote unquote, not enough room for us on the field during the football games. And so, yes, I think all of us old heads have a right to be a little bit bitter now.
They need to bring you guys back for homecoming and let you perform with the dance team during homecoming. Let's start that movement.
I mean, I'd be here for it, but I'm not sure anyone wants to see me doing any of those moves anymore. It's not a good look.
The cheerleaders come back.
That's true, but I would love that. But me doing all that stuff now, I'm not sure that's a good idea for anybody. Well, so.
I will text you a video of my sister during her oldest son's graduation party. He was coming to West Virginia, and throughout the course of the party, it's a party, and my sister breaks into the dance routine to the fight song, which was
I totally get that. It's like ingrained in us forever because, you know, I get a chance. Big 12 media days are always down here in Dallas. And so every year I go, and then before each coach, you know, kind of talks and everything to the media, they play the fight songs and I hear that drum beat and I'm ready to go. And I still know it all, but again, no one wants to see that, but you know, I can't help keep myself. My body just like automatically goes into it. So I totally get where she's coming from.
Yeah. Just jump in next year when they get down there. Well, what are some of your favorite memories from your time sports wise, like going to the games, you know, a football game or a basketball game? When you think back to your college days, do you think and go, I was at this game and I remember when this player came and I remember when this happened? Is there anything that stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, like I said, going back to just being on the dance team, you know, I always loved that I was right there in the thick of things, you know, at all the basketball games and just had so much fun. And, you know, what people don't realize, I don't think people realize just how special it is to go to school at WVU. I mean, it really is like such a passionate fan base. And so whether I was on the sidelines as part of the dance team or just like in the crowd, like during football games, it was just always so fun. And like everyone in Morgantown is just so unbelievably passionate about the sports programs. And, you know, we've been pretty blessed to have like consistently good teams, you know, even dating back all the way since, you know, I was up in school until now. And it's always so fun. But you know, I think where it comes full circle for me is, you know, going to the football games and I'm always so into it and, you know, watching the game and taking it all in and loving to see even like some of the opposing teams coming in. But now what's awesome for me is I sit there and, you know, I'm getting all these Hall of Fame nominations for people and I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, I remember watching them like mm-hmm. while I was in school, like we, you know, just got the nomination for like Mike Vick, you know, and I'm like, God, I remember watching him in person. I'll never forget, you know, we just announced that Randy Moss is part of our 2024 Hall of Fame class.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that game when they came in and he and Chad Pennington, it was like unbelievable. It was like watching Superman, like Randy Moss was just unbelievable. And it was just cool to think, hey, I remember watching them in person, like, you know, and so stuff like that. I remember the players. I don't necessarily remember the games, but I remember like the players and mm-hmm. being like, just appreciating the talent that was on the field, whether that be for, you know, West Virginia or for, you know, other teams coming in. I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just a sports nerd and I always just loved watching it.
Yeah. Randy is from maybe 15 minutes away from me. Went to school at the same time with him, and actually the mother of his children is from St. Albans, West Virginia, which is where I went to high school. So I got to spend a little time with Randy. He would sometimes come down and hang out with us because we didn't go anywhere. We kind of hung out at a house and he would come and hang out, and just because he couldn't be out in public at this point. Like he could, but it was just he didn't like right. that type of spotlight. So he would just come and hang, and actually he was at my prom. We sat at the table and hung out with him most of the night. And yeah,
that's crazy.
So when I see him now, you know, an NFL Hall of Famer, the nomination for the College Football Hall of Fame, it's kind of wild to think, man, That was a long time ago.
Right.
As we, you know, so, you know, tell me about your path. How did you end up in this role that you're in currently?
Sure. Well, like I said, I've always had an interest in sports, and in particular football. That's always kind of been my biggest love. And, you know, when I was thinking about going back to graduate school, you know, the easy path would have been to just say, oh, I'm going to go for journalism again, you know, get a master's in journalism. But I was really trying to think about what it was that I wanted to do. And, you know, and of course it was, you know, it had to be sports related. And, and luckily, I mean, West Virginia has one of the top sport management programs in the country. And I was like, well, that just seems like a natural fit for me. And I researched it, and luckily I got accepted. And, you know, as part of the sport management program, you had to complete a 6-credit internship, with a sports organization. And, you know, so I kept looking around, and I actually interviewed, and, I got to like the top, I think, two for, a placement for an internship at the University of Michigan, and I was considered a finalist for the National Football Foundation internship. And, at the time the NFF was located in New Jersey, and my sister actually was a grad student at the University of Michigan. So, you know, both of them, you know, had pluses and minuses, I guess. And, so, you know, I didn't end up getting the University of Michigan one, but I was kind of leaning more towards the NFF one because it was totally football. And, I guess it was just meant to be. And then I ended up interning with the NFF, which was supposed to be for just one summer. And, they had new leadership that was Texas based. And so they wanted to relocate the NFF to Dallas, Texas. And so they were like, well, you know, hey, you know, do you want to stay on for a little bit longer? You know, we're getting ready to move to Texas, so we could use the extra help. And so I ended up staying through until December, and then December came around and they were like, well, you ever think about moving to Texas? I basically just laughed in their faces, and I'm like, yeah, right, no way. And so I kept working with, I said, I'll stick around until you guys move, and then, you know, I'll go somewhere else. I'm not moving to Texas. So then finally my one boss sat me down and had a very blunt conversation with me and was like, listen, you don't do this just because of the distance. I really think that you're going to regret it. And he was like, you have said yourself, you're a football person, you love the game, like, this is a great opportunity for you. And I, you know, I kind of had to have a little come to Jesus moment with myself, because obviously, I mean, Texas was just so foreign to me, and what, almost 2,000 miles away from all my family and friends. And, mm-hmm. and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to take the chance. And I'm so glad I did. And so what started as a, you know, 3-month summer internship has now turned into an almost 20-year career. And, I'm really thankful.
So I get to live vicariously through your social media. I feel like you're at all the cool sporting events. I mean, not only are you involved in a lot of, you know, the scholarshiping process for some high school athletes, but the nominations and the process for the College Football Hall of Fame, but you do get to travel around to bowl games and special events. And is that a part of the gig where you get to go and just kind of take other things in and be around the business, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one good thing about being here in Dallas is that it's a very sports centric community here. And so there's not just the Football Foundation. I mean, literally right across the street from us, I can see the College Football Playoff offices as well as the Big 12 offices from my window at work. Like,
oh, wow.
We're literally right there beside each other. And, you know, Conference USA is just down the street. Obviously, we have the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, we can talk all day about the, you know, pro sports as well, but there's just so many like sporting events and athletic, organizations around here, that, you know, you really just get to know everyone And there's always a lot of stuff going on. So, I've been very blessed in that way to get to know all the people in our little, college football and sports community here. But one of the things that I love the most that the NFF does, every fall, we have these events called on-campus salutes. And so we go to the campuses of each one of our Hall of Fame inductees, like alma maters. So, it's been awesome because when West Virginia has had an inductee, obviously that gives me a good excuse to come back to Morgantown. So I think the last one we had was Daryl Talley. And so I got to come and like present a plaque to Daryl, like during a WVU football game. And I get to do that for a lot of different, inductees. Last season, I was at Kansas State. I was at Virginia Tech. I was at Iowa. I went to Iowa for the first time. That was awesome. And so it's so cool to be not only to be able just to travel and do that, but then you really get to witness all the different traditions. At each school. And, one of the coolest moments I ever, I remember being at Clemson years ago and, got to see them like run down the hill, the whole Howard's Rock situation. Like mm-hmm. when you get to see all the different things that, schools do and all the special traditions that they have, like it really, I really cannot express how grateful I am to be able to do all of those things.
You mentioned Daryl Talley. One of the all-time greats. So which inductees from West Virginia you've been involved with Talley, Major, I'm assuming, in 09?
Yep.
And then Coach Nealon?
Coach Nealon was part of my very first Hall of Fame class. So when I had started, he was the first group of inductees that I ever worked with. And so it was so special. When I told him that I went to West Virginia, he just lit up and he could not have been nicer. It is a memory that I will cherish forever. I remember standing at his induction ceremony. And when I told him I went to West Virginia, he yelled for all of his family, including like Jeff Hostetler was there, and he's like, guys, come here. She's one of ours. She's one of ours. And I will never forget that. He made me, I was a nobody mm-hmm. and he made me feel so special. And this was a moment for him, but he made me feel just, like I said, so special. And he's just such a great guy. And that was a moment that I will cherish forever.
Obviously one of the legends of the game, one of the great guys. We had him on recently, back in the fall, when he was, immortalized in Morgantown. They put his name up on the, in the stadium, so his name will live there forever, along with, of course, Daryl Talley and Major mm-hmm. Harris and, and Chuck Howley and those guys and Ira Rogers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Mountaineers in the Hall of Fame. When the museum was in Indiana, I got to visit, and that was really neat. And, of course, it's in Atlanta now? Where's the museum?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've not been to the Atlanta location, which I need to go ahead and get there. I keep putting it off amongst other things, but yeah, I mean, it was really cool to go and, see it. And, there's Ira Rogers and of course recently, I'm trying to think, has Bobby Bowden been inducted? Would he have been inducted?
Bobby was inducted, I believe, in 06.
Okay. I was going to say,
I'm wrong, but yeah, it's been a while. He and, Joe Paterno went in the same year. And, there's only been, I think, three or four coaches who have actually been inducted as active coaches. And Bobby Bowden was one of them.
Wow.
Was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course, Mage goes in. My favorite all-time Mountaineer, Major Harris. I've been blessed with the opportunity to become a good friend of his. And we keep in touch on a regular basis.
Yeah, I see that. You guys are around each other a lot.
Yeah. So, so one of the things I wanted to ask, like, when players are inducted, what comes along with that? I mean, Major was kind of telling me some things, like, and I don't know if he was getting it right when he was explaining it to me, but they bring him in and kind of, do they even school him a little bit on how they can market themselves? Like, what comes along with the induction part?
Sure. We like to think of our induction process as, a little bit different than all of the other kind of Hall of Fames, where I feel like, they make the announcement, you have your induction process, and that's it. We really kind of do like a full circle, like year-long process. So we typically announce in January. So we just announced the 2024 class, the morning of the national championship game. And then the induction is not until December. So they have kind of like a full year to celebrate this honor. The way the guys find out is also kind of special. They don't know that it's coming. And so we make up a personalized football for each of the inductees. And, so they get this like random, FedEx package on their door a few days before the announcement. And, they open it up and there's a personalized football on there that says the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame congratulates, Major Harris, a member of the, 2009 College Football Hall of Fame class. So it's a nice surprise. I think it means a lot to them that they have this kind of personal moment to themselves to kind of take that all in. And then a few days later, we make the official announcement. But, throughout the spring, we just kind of spend, housekeeping with them, giving them a heads up on what's to come for the fall. And during the fall, like I mentioned, we take each one of them back to their alma mater and celebrate them on the field in front of their home crowd. And I think that that's a really special moment for all of them because obviously that's where it happened for all of them. And to get that appreciation in front of their home crowd, I think is something that is truly important, as part of this process. And so I know, like in speaking with Daryl and speaking with Major, like those moments, I mean, there's never going to be more appreciation for a Hall of Fame player than in front of that home crowd. They all do that during the fall. And then our annual awards dinner, which is the official induction ceremony, then takes place in December. It used to be in New York. All of our WVU guys got inducted in New York, but now we're out in Las Vegas. This year it'll be at the Bellagio Resort and Casino. And they have a fun couple days. And there's a press conference. There's obviously the awards dinner, where they're surrounded by returning Hall of Famers as well. And it's just a lot of fun. And they get to take it all in and hopefully, this kind of year-long process is something that they really appreciate.
I want to get to a couple of players that are nominated, but before we get there, I want in a player that people in West Virginia feel like should be nominated. But I want to get this part out first to help them understand why he may or may not. What are the credentials? What has to
Sure.
happen in your college football career to be nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame?
Right. And I feel like I know where this is going, but
it's going there.
trust me, I've heard it. Well, first and foremost, for players, you have to have been a first-team All-American from an NCAA-recognized publication. As we all know, there's a million and one different All-America teams now, but we want the ones that are specifically certified by the NCAA, which are the AP, the AFCA. Walter Camp, Football Writers Association, Sporting News. Is that it right now? I think I might be forgetting one. But so they had to have been in All-America by one of those selectors. They also have to have been out of college for at least 10 full seasons. We take, under consideration whether they've been a good citizen, whether they've they're just not a knucklehead, more or less. We also, look at their academic career, whether they've graduated or not. Now, obviously, that's not an end all be all. And then for coaches, they had to have won at least 60% of their games as a head coach. And they had to have been retired for at least 3 years. Or if they're over the age of 75, they can actually be inducted. as an active coach, which was the case, like I said, with Bobby Bowden, with Joe Paterno. Actually, Bill Snyder, I believe, was the last one to go in as an active coach. So those are the basic criteria there.
So Coach Carlin has been nominated, West Virginia head coach.
He has.
And so I am on the and I don't know if I subliminally did this yesterday, but I started the We Need Aaron Beasley in the College Football Hall of Fame train yesterday. And I don't know if it was subliminally knowing that I was going to be talking to you today, but I kind of put that out there. And Aaron Beasley is a – I mean, you know, if you have any voting power or any sway, we got to get him in there. And my argument is, and I'm sure you're familiar with him, but my argument with him is if he would have played at the time, if he would have been on Michigan or Florida, I feel like he would have already been in. He just had a season. He was a consensus All-American. I mean, he was a lockdown, shutdown cornerback. I got the privilege to watch him play. He was amazing. And, you know, nobody – the thing about it was for him, his stats probably – you know, there's probably not a lot of bat downs, although he had like 10 picks in one season one time. But nobody challenged him. He was amazing.
Yeah.
So we have to – I'm going to come out and pick at your office here in about a week and with Aaron Beasley signs. We got to get AB in there. But the one that tends to get brought up a lot, and I'm sure I would love to know what your inbox is like with your official work inbox, is Pat White. And people,
I knew that. So that's exactly where I knew this was going.
Yeah, people, I tell them, I'm like, I don't think he's eligible. And they're, well, he has to be eligible. He's done this and this and this and this. Seems like they would change the rules. So where, and I don't know how much you can say because you are involved in a lot of this, but what makes him eligible and what makes him ineligible?
Well, real quick though, if I could go back to Bees, you know, he has been nominated, he has been on the ballot, and he is certainly worthy of induction, you know, whether that be my biased West Virginia opinion or not. And so I think with at least what I'm hoping anyway with Bees is that it's a matter of, you know, if not if. So that's what I'm hoping for him. You know, certainly I feel like he's deserving. And, you know, even though it sounds cliche, it doesn't make it any less true that, you know, being on the ballot, when you think of there's been almost 6 million people who have played college football. And, you know, only 0.02% have been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. So even just making the ballot, whether no one wants to hear that, but it is, you know, a huge honor just to be on the ballot. But I think that, you know, he's going to get over that hump, hopefully sooner than later. That's just my opinion. I certainly hope he does. But fast forwarding now to the Pat White situation, you know, it's funny because you know, I joke around a lot that I'm the most hated person in college football because anytime someone's upset that their guy didn't get in the Hall of Fame, you know, I'm kind of the face of that. And so even though I have no voting privileges and, you know, I'm not responsible for the selection at all, I just kind of oversee the process. You know, I'm the one who gets to hear the wrath of people.
All right, so no emails to Hillary for the listeners. No emails, no Facebook messages, none of that.
Not from my fellow Mountaineers. Don't break my heart like that. but I understand. But it's also, in a twisted way, it's the beauty of college football because people are so passionate about it. You know, it's funny, just a quick story, though. Like, you know, I was getting killed because, like, Warrick Dunn was not getting like inducted into the Hall of Fame. Well, what people don't realize is that we don't like just nominate people. The schools have to nominate them.
Oh.
So finally, I literally called Florida State and I'm like talking to the SID there. And I'm like, can you please nominate Warrick Dunn? Because I'm getting murdered on this.
Yeah, please handle this.
Please.
Get your people.
And he actually is inducted this year for the 2024 class. So anyway, so I know I got off the subject a little bit, but with Pat White, You know, it's funny, as someone who oversees the process, I have a real appreciation for, you know, these are our rules, these are the criteria, and, you know, we have to respect that process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I've always kind of been someone who wants to maintain the integrity of that criteria as much as possible. And then one day it hit me, I was like looking through this and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for Pat White to get into the hall. And then I'm like, oh, wait. Oh,
yep.
Wait. And unfortunately, he does not meet the criteria because he was not a first team All-American.
Which
can
is
I see
crazy
the argument?
To think.
I know. And I think in if I can speak candidly, it's one of those things too where it goes back to a bigger issue where, you know, the All-America selectors only pick one quarterback.
Right.
And that to me seems a little unfair. And so that's something I don't know if that needs to be fixed. Or if there's something else, but there has to be a qualifier for sure. And, you know, until we can come up with something that makes sense and isn't opening up Pandora's box, I mean, I do feel like we have to stick to the criteria as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to say that it can't be amended if something makes sense in the future.
Yeah, if I was in the room and going to politic for Pat White, I would say that his winning percentage is probably above any type of standard. I'm trying to think back. He probably only lost maybe eight games.
I mean, I think was he not the first quarterback to win four straight?
Yes, bowl games. He won two BCS, yeah. At the time, this is the BCS era, two BCS games, one New Year's Day game, and in the Meineke Car Care Bowl. Also won his Senior Bowl game. He probably only lost maybe 11 games in his career total.
Right.
You know, it seems like that would be the qualifier. But yeah, I get it. I get it, and I understand it, and I feel the same way. I feel like there has to be a standard, and if you open Pandora's box, then there's probably 70 or 80 other players that you would have to like consider, and not that they don't deserve it, but there has to be a line.
I mean, and I think there would even be more than that. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, the beauty of college football is that I know I keep going back and I keep using that word passion, but it's true. Like the beauty of college football is that fan bases are so passionate about it. And, you know, college football teams are such a part of a community that people feel like they're family. People feel like, you know, I mean, in a lot of cases, and WVU is a great example. I mean, that's the pro team of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's just how it is. And it's a beautiful part of the game. And what makes it so special. And so anybody on any given day can make an argument for anybody to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's true. And so it's that, I guess, from my perspective, for the role that I play, is kind of a blessing and a curse, you know, because like you love hearing the stories. You love seeing that people are so invested in this process. But it's also hard for me too, because, you know, I can be a fan as much as I want and as much as I love Pat White and feel like he was such an amazing part of college football history, you know, it's also my job to respect the integrity of the process.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's, it can be a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is, so that also disqualifies him from putting his name in the Ring of Honor at WVU. I don't know if you're aware.
You know what, I talked to Montoro, you know, about that, and I don't think I realized that was their process there.
Yeah, so you have to be in the NFL or the College Football Hall of Fame to be considered. That's why
So what I'm reading here, Anthony, I feel like what you're saying to me is this is all my fault.
No,
that's what I feel like
no,
you're saying.
I'm just saying it's not your fault. You have no powers. We've made this very clear.
Kidding.
But yeah, that's the unfortunate part is I think the university will have to be the ones to change their process to put him up, because that's what kept Chuck Howley off of the list for so long. He just got into the NFL Hall of Fame this year, and Chuck is his health is not well. He wasn't even present for the presentation. It was his family. And they kept putting it off. You know, people are like, well, this is ridiculous. Why isn't Chuck Howley? Blah, blah, blah. He wasn't in the Football Hall of Fame. So they held off Chuck Howley, who was in poor health for that long because of that process. So I'm not even sure that they are going to amend their process. So, but, you know,
well,
it is what it is.
Because, I can't speak for them, of course, you know, but, you know, especially being, you know, such an important part of WVU and college football history, you know, I hope that's something they consider. And I hope, and to be frank, you know, I hope that it's something, I do think that the NFF does a good job of, you know, every year before our selection process, we kind of sit down for a moment. We take a look at the criteria and make sure that we feel like this is the best we can possibly do at this time. I think we're not so rigid that we don't think we can amend it in the future, but as I said before, we have to do it so it makes sense.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not just, you know, at the end of the day, it is a college football Hall of Fame and we want the best of the best, and we have to go about it to make sure we're doing that in the right way.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic facility. You know, we just got to get bees in there soon. That's my only complaint. We got to get him in there. Let's come back.
I'll do what I can.
Let's come back to modern day football. Today's game. For you as a Mountaineer, what's it like for you to see games like Pitt and Penn State? You're a PA, you know, you're just right there in PA, but you're a Mountaineer. What's it like for you to see Pitt and Penn State back on the Mountaineer schedule?
I'm so happy. I'll be honest with you. There's a part of me, as much as I'm always going to be a West Virginia fan. There's part of me that I'm sorry. I just can't get like pumped up of, you know, West Virginia and Iowa State, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't do anything for me, but it's so nice to see, you know, the old rivalries back now, and you see the excitement in Mountaineer Nation, you know, just to see those old rivalries back. I mean, it just makes me so happy. And, you know, I've already been talking so much smack to Pitt friends and Penn State friends. It's great to just be able to do that again.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I went to the Pitt game last year and sat with Rich Braham. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I remember the name.
Yeah, he played for the Bengals for about 10 years and just happened to – that happened to be the person I was sitting beside. So it was kind of great to experience it with him and catch up with him. And, and it was just, we literally kept saying to each other, can you believe we got Pitts back on the field? This is awesome. Like, it was just,
I know.
I didn't even really care the outcome. Like, it was just great to be back in the middle of the backyard brawl. So,
that's exactly right. Like, it almost doesn't matter obviously we always want West Virginia to win, but like, it almost doesn't matter, you know, what the outcome is, because it just feels so good to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is part of the 2024 College Football Hall of Fame class. And so I've already been talking to like the Pitt SID, who I've become really good friends with over the years. And
I'll edit that out. Go ahead.
He's the only one that's allowed. He's the only one that's acceptable. But I was talking to EJ and I'm like, hey, you know, you know, the West Virginia game might be a really good time to have Larry's on-campus salute.
Oh, yeah.
I've already been, like, politicking for that one. And
yeah,
he's
so,
like, yeah, but you have to wear Pitt colors. And I'm like, well, I'm glad they're the same colors as West Virginia almost. So.
No, you should just say, no problem. I'm there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
So I asked him if I could wear a coonskin cap, but he said no.
He ruled.
But,
so, yeah, I was, you know, obviously a part of the Pitt West Virginia games when Larry was at Pitt, and Man, what a ball player. And
oh my gosh.
So here's, I'm sure you've probably met him and talked to him. But here's what I remember. This is no joke. I'm up in the booth because I was running the video board at the time. And I look over to the visitor's tunnel. And there's, I believe she's at Auburn now, Shelley Poe, who was the former SOD at West Virginia, is walking down the tunnel with Larry Fitzgerald. And I'm like, and they're talking. They're just chatting it up. And I'm like, this is strange. So I see her, you know, and I'm like, you know, why were you walking with Larry Fitzgerald? Blah, 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 blah. She's like, he is the nicest, most kind kid. She's like, probably ever been around. She was just, thought he was the greatest. And I've heard nothing but great things about Larry Fitzgerald. And if I'm going to cheer any Pitt player on to the College Football Hall of Fame, it's going to be Larry Fitzgerald. Because what an amazing career. And I've just heard nothing but great things about him.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is that I had never met Larry. And by pure coincidence, so it's crazy. This is a really funny story. I had to go out to the festival this year for work. And we walk into our suite and, you know, there's just like a row of kids like in the front of our seats. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like joking. I'm like, oh, we got some recruits up here or whatever, you know. And someone was like, oh, you know, those are Larry's kids. And they said it so nonchalantly that I'm like,
who's Larry?
What are you talking about? And it wasn't 5 minutes later, I turn around and, oh, it was Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, that Larry. Yeah.
That Larry, which totally made sense then because we're at the festival playing at, you know, the Cardinals stadium, you know. So he walks in and I'm like a little kind of starstruck because, you know, he's Larry Fitzgerald and he literally looks like he could still get out there and play like no problem. And so, yeah, it was his, I think, two boys and their friends that were there. And it was just so neat because he literally sat there with his boys and you could see that they were so into the game. And, you know, he's showing them, you know, like different plays and, you know, how, you know, techniques and stuff like that. And you could see how cool it was just to be there as like a family and everything, you know. And when he was getting up to leave, I went over and introduced myself to him. And yeah, he just could not have been nicer. He was so great. And, you know, at the time we hadn't announced our class yet. And I'm trying so hard not to like blurt it out in front of him.
You're Hall of Famer. I'll see you soon. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah, he just could not have been nicer. And, you know, I told him again that I knew the SID, EJ Brigetti. I was good friends with him up at, you know, at Pitt. And, you know, he was like, oh, you know, EJ is my brother from another mother. And, you know, he was just the nicest guy. So it'll be good to see him again.
Well, Hillary, it's been great to catch up with you. This is all great stuff. And hopefully we can help answer some questions on who's in, who's out, the in the process, and I think maybe Mountaineer Nation will feel a little bit more confident that there's a Mountaineer down there leading the way and doing great things in college sports. And you know, I like I said before, I get to vicariously live through your social media, and I'll be honest with you, I'm proud of you, and you're just doing a great job out there. So I appreciate you taking time to come and talk, and it was, you know, even the 15 minutes before record was probably the best part, just getting to catch up and see how everybody's doing. So thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
Of course. Anthony, this has been great. Always love. It was wonderful to catch up with you. And anytime I can talk more about Mountaineer football and stuff. And I will say this just on the last note, because we can't finish our conversation on talking about a Pitt player. I think I'm most proud of the fact that since I've been around, there have been, I think 3 or 4 NFF National Scholar Athletes from West Virginia. Most recently in the 2023 class was Zach Frazier, who we know was an All-American, is going to be a top draft prospect. And I'm most proud about that. You know, I love the fact that like West Virginia players are doing it right on the field and in the classroom. It's a lot to be proud of. So, but it's so good to be here with you today. I love catching up, and anytime you guys need me, you just call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.